the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program, today's special. we're going to speak about the struggle against the self, or jihad on nafs. So I invite you to be with today's special.
Felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you. And now that we're here,
today, Sunday, is the 26th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the first step of today's special, so we bless our program with the recitation of Surah Anbiya, from the Holy Quran, verses 34 to 35. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa ma ja'alna li basharin min qablikal khuld. Afa in mitta fahumul khalidun.
And we did not grant to any man before you eternity on earth. So if you die, would they be eternal?
Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut wa nabluukum bish-sharri wal-khayri fitnatan wa ilayna turja'un.
Every soul will taste death, and we test you with evil and with good as trial, and to us you will be returned.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Your main abode has not been assigned in this world. It is somewhere else. You have come here only for taking examinations, and after the end of the examinations and gaining the necessary development, you will go to your main abode, the world of the hereafter. By the way, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, said, health and self-sufficiency is good, and sickness and poverty is evil, and both of them are for trial.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you tell me out aloud that on that day I'll be okay. But we'll never know, 'cause that's not the way it works. Help me find my way.
What is the struggle against the self? That's a good question. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, one who struggles against himself so as to obey God in the eyes of God, his station is that of a pious martyr. Self is our biggest and most staunch enemy, who is permanently and continuously at war with reason. By listening to satanic whispers, he attacks the reason together with his soldiers to get it isolated and ultimately silenced, so that he becomes sole contender in the battlefield. His single goal is to force out Allah's favorite angels from the heart's kingdom and helping Satan to take over his absolute control. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about jihad against our carnal desires. The Holy Quran in the Surah Yusuf indicates it in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bis-su' illa ma rahim rabbi. The soul or the carnal desire, the carnal desires drag people to doing unfavorable things, to committing vices, or being a vile personality. In contrast to this, we find that whereas there are carnal desires in everybody, we find that there are some other forces in everybody, I mean some divine forces or some divinely determined forces in everybody, that shows that the best ways for reaching perfection can be attained by combating against carnal desires. For example, committing some sins may have some, may receive some inspirations, or one may receive some satanic temptations in order to commit some sins, while the reality is that through committing those crimes or those sins, we will be moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, in order to be as close as possible to the divine nature inherent in us, we've been advised to combat against the carnal desires. And this is a phase or an aspect or a move in the way of reaching the stage of combating our carnal desires or performing jihad against our carnal desires.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong. World that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Piety and the self, what's the relationship between them? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, piety is shelter for you in this world and will be a source of prosperity and salvation in the hereafter. The piety has been introduced as a positive virtue, a powerful force introducing restraint and immunity, and an important preventing factor. It should be compared to a bridle used for training a mulish force for riding, or restraining and controlling the whims and passionate of a rebellious self. It is like a formidable fortress and firm fortification would protect a human being from the devastating attacks of internal enemies. That is the unlawful, selfish whims and passionate and satanic whispers. It is like a shield which protects a struggle in the battlefield from the piercing of poisonous arrows and other satanic devastating blows.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around. But I'm so grateful for every moment I spent with you. 'Cause I know life won't last forever.
We reach to the steps of a struggle against the self. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Will and resolve. Firm resolve is the essence of humanity and basic requirement to attain freedom from the domination of evil desires. The will that is required at this stage is synonymous with laying the foundation of a good life. The warrior in this battle of the self should purge himself from sins, perform all obligatory acts, make an intention to compensate for the days lost in sinfulness, and finally, resolve to behave as a rational religious person and a real human being. His manners should be an imitation of the Prophet's life, and he should follow the Prophet in all his abstinence and choices. All these cannot be achieved unless he learns the laws of Sharia and follows them faithfully. Inshallah.
The nafs is like a vampire. What do vampires do? I'm sure you've seen a lot of vampire movies and a lot of vampire series. What do vampires do? Do they just kill? They don't just kill. They turn another person into a what? Into a vampire. When the nafs overdefeats the mind, it doesn't just kill the mind, but it gets the mind to work for the nafs. The mind becomes a culprit. The mind begins to help the nafs perform its desires and achieve its desires. That is why Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam states, كَمْ مِنْ عَقْلٍ أَسِيرٍ عَنْدَ هَوَنْ أَمِيرٍ. How many minds are arrested, are captivated by a controlling nafs? When the nafs takes control, the mind is paralyzed. Not only is it paralyzed, but it will begin to serve the nafs. For example, the nafs will say, I'd like to steal. The mind will think of the best and most deceitful ways to steal. The nafs wants to commit adultery. The mind will think of the most deceptive ways and most secretive ways to commit adultery. The mind will become a slave to the nafs, and it will obey its commands.
I think this topic we talked about is so interesting. There was the struggle against the self or jihad on nafs. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special. Till then, tomorrow, have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day by pondering on an aphorism from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Incapacity is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches. Self-restraint is a shield against sin. And the best companion is submission to Allah's will.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We've been speaking previously about paradise, about making effort in attaining paradise. However, what is a beautiful thing about the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is that they kind of cover all angles, even if it's in a general way. In this tradition that we will, over a period of a few days, inshallah, try to expound on and mention and share with you, dear brothers and sisters, is that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in mentioning that, okay, paradise is something that you have to attain via trials and tribulations, certain things that you need to protect, which can count as trial and tribulation, is this. But there are also those individuals who paradise is forbidden for them. These individuals who perform, obviously, these bad deeds, they cannot enter paradise because they don't have that ability, their soul does not have that purity. They have blackened their own souls by their own deeds, that they are not able to enter into this pure place. Again, the concept of place is not something that is relevant to something that is metaphysical, but lack of words. So here, for example, in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it said paradise is forbidden to three types of people. So here we say that these three types of people are who? So the first one is upon Alal Mannan. Now, what is a Mannan? A person who does man is that person who, for example, he does something for somebody.
right? Whatever, he gives him a favor, or he lends him money, or whatever, he does something good for somebody. But his intention in doing this is that, okay, I've now, you can go either way, that now I have this person in my control. Meaning what? Meaning that I can destroy this person's honor.
How?
That when he is in a particular gathering, I can tell you, remember that time I did this and this for you? You know, so he keeps on bringing this up. He has a sort of upper hand, he feels, on this individual by helping him out. This is one way. Another one is that when a person does something for somebody, he keeps on reminding him about it, not in private, so that that person feels lonely. And then when this other individual needs something, he says, okay, I can go to that person. And then this person, because of what I did for him previously, he will obviously have to help me out. So when you go to this person and ask for help, you do not ask him sincerely. You say, oh, remember that time I helped you? Now you have to help me now because I helped you at that time. And that person obviously feels obliged now to assist. Even if it's at times he might not have the ability to assist. This is not why we assist people. So the Holy Prophet saying a person who does this, who is seeking favor by doing favors, is somebody who, according to this tradition, will find difficulty into entering into paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from such a trait. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Tsuyoda, who is an internationally famous Japanese scientist in the field of oceanic geology, after discussion about function of mountains for the fixing of the earth, concerning the Quran says, I believe that this, that is the Quranic information, is very, very strange. It is nearly impossible. I believe truly that if what we are saying is right, thus this book, that is the Quran, is very valuable to be noticed. Dear audience, Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 17 to 19 of Surah Ash-Shura, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Amir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله الذي يستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها والذين آمنوا مشفقون منها ويعلمون أنها الحق ألا إن الذين يمارون في الساعة لفي ضلال بعيد الله لطيف الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو القوي العزيز
صدق الله
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Sheikh Ahmad Amir, who recited Surah Ash-Shura, verses 17 to 19. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان. Okay, at the beginning of this verse we have the name of Allah, the majestic name of Allah. It begins with a hamzatul wasl. We all know that Allah, the first letter has to be pronounced with a fatha whenever it's the first word that we are pronouncing. And so the lam also is pronounced with taghlil, with thickness. Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitab. We have maddul munfasil here. Sheikh Amir recited maddul munfasil with qasr. Qasr means two vowel counts, like a normal maddul tabiri. So he's reciting in the riwayah of Hafs an Asim, where you are allowed to lengthen matul munfasil to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Anzal al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan bil-haqqi. The qaf has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. If you say what bil-haqqi, that's too much tafkhim. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبًا قَرِيب قَاف has تَفْخِيم and the رَا has تَرْقِيق
يستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها يستعجل
The عين has to be pronounced from the middle of the throat, from the pharynx, and without any قلقلة. If you say يستعجل بها الذي, that's incorrect. يستعجل بها ال, see, it's completely sucking and there's no movement, vowel movement in it. والذين آمنوا مشفقون منها ويعلمون أنها الحق. Now, when we reach the word الحق, if we stop on this word, we have to pronounce two qafs, both with sukoon. The first qaf is hell, the second qaf is released with qalqala. Haqqa. We don't say haqqa, haqqa, because originally a letter with a shatta is two letters, two same letters, one with sukoon, the second one with haraka. So we have to say al-haqqa. We have to hold the qaf a little and then release it.
أَلَا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُمَارُونَ فِي السَّاعَةِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ.
We have إقلاب of نون ساكنة here.
ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ.
The mouth does not completely close. There is a slight opening between the lips. And at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. It takes a lot of practice to master iqlab of nun sakin and get it right. If you say walalin ba'id, the mouth is too open. Or if you say walalin ba'id, the mouth is completely closed. We want a slight opening, as much, they say that a thin sheet of paper should fit between the lips. That's how small the space should be.
الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء.
Again, we had another iqlab, and before that we had a ta with ya'ul mad. So again, the ta, just like the qaf in bilhaqqi, has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. لطيفٌ, لطيفٌ, not لطيف, لطيفٌ.
وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ.
The qaf has tafkhim again at the second level. We should be careful we don't give too much tafkhim to the qaf. We don't say وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. It sounds like a dhamma if we give too much tafkhim to a letter of istirla. And finally, عزيز, we have to hold the zai a little bit because we have to observe the timing of zai, which is a letter of rakhawa. It's a weak fricative. Al-Aziz. If we say Al-Aziz, that's incorrect. That's it for this segment of the show. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran.
كتاب الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome back to a program, or our program, where we discuss and we mention certain anecdotes and beautiful stories that are, you know, encapsulated in the verses of the Holy Quran. Rather, the verses of the Holy Quran enable these individuals to see the light, rather just to see light and to see the beauty of the Holy Quran. Again, revolving around the 90th verse of Surah Nahl, which is the 16th Surah of the Holy Quran, there's a story that has been mentioned in one of the one of the main commentaries of the Holy Quran, known as Majmu al-Bayan.
Under this verse, this story has been mentioned. One of the companions of the Holy Prophet, a great companion, one of the great friends of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, also by the name of Uthman ibn Mad'un. He was a great companion, a firm believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he mentions this, and he says that in the beginning, you know, I was not a very firm believer in Islam. Islam did not penetrate my heart. I accepted Islam out of respect for the Holy Prophet. You know, he would come and he would talk to me about Islam and he would keep on inviting me. And I would just like, you know, because of all the efforts that the Holy Prophet made in respecting him, being nice to him, or even some may say, just getting him off my back, I accepted Islam. But Islam was not something that was firm in my heart. I did not have that firm belief yet. Until one day, that I got into the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Prophet was in this state of contemplation. After a while, the Holy Prophet's face and eyes were fixed upon the sky. And it was as if he was understanding an important message, or getting something important, or rather, you know, trying to understand something important. So after that state of the Holy Prophet passed, I asked him that what happened to you, Ya Rasulullah, in that particular instant that you fixed your gaze upon the heavens. The Holy Prophet then said to Uthman that all of a sudden Jibra'il came to me and I saw him, and he revealed this verse to me, Inna Allahu ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. And the Holy Prophet recited this verse till the end. And then it is said that Uthman, on hearing this verse, said that Islam in its entirety filled my heart. And it made my belief firm. And then afterwards I went to the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, and told him what just occurred. Inshallah, the speech of Abu Talib and the reply to him to Uthman in our next episode, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يوهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I want to focus on the relationship itself, the relationship between Ali and Fatima alayhim as-salam. They understood each other, right? And they respected one another. What does that mean, right? There are many beautiful examples we have of how they interacted with one another. We'll just look at one or two of them. First is, they never demanded or desired for that which their spouse could not provide for them. Yeah, this is huge. Fatima alayha afdalu salatu wassalam, she says that my father instructed me, kana rasulullah nahani an as'alaka shay'an. The story, if I remember correctly, was that Ali came back home and there was no food in the house. And he said that, why didn't you tell me that there was no food in the house, right? And so she says, this is their response. Now, we don't have to be at this level. Yeah, this is an amazing level. But she said, my father forbade me to ask you anything. Yeah. فَقَالَ لَا تَسْأَلِينَ إِبْنَ عَمِّكَ شَيْئًا إِن جَاءَكَ بِشَيْءٍ عَفْوٍ وَإِلَّا فَلَا تَسْأَلِي. Yeah? He says that don't demand something from the son of my uncle. If he can provide for you, let him provide for you. If he can't provide for you, don't demand anything from him. Yeah? What a beautiful way. Honestly, what a beautiful way, right? We all have wants and desires, right? We all look on Amazon and be like, oh, I want this, oh, I want that, oh, I want this, right? But maybe we can't afford it, right? We all want to go out to dinner every night. Maybe we can't afford it. We all want a nice car. Maybe we can't afford it. Both spouses, right? This is not a finger at anyone, but both spouses need to make sure that their expectations they have for each other are within what can be delivered. Yeah? If it can't be delivered, then don't demand something because it adds unnecessary stress within the house. The spouse, the other spouse, will want to provide because they love their spouse. They want to provide. There's nothing more heartbreaking than when you can't afford something and your child asks for something. Nothing more heartbreaking, is it? Yeah? This is why when Ali ibn al-Akbar asked for water in Karbala, it broke the heart of Hussein. It broke the heart of Hussein, right? It broke the heart of Hussein to that extent where he began to cry and said, my son, you will be given water from Kawthar very soon. Yeah? Very soon. And then when he fell from his horse, right? What did Ali ibn al-Akbar say? Yeah? He didn't say, salam to you. He didn't say, come to me. He said, Abata, my grandfather has quenched my thirst already. Why? Why? Because he knew Hussein's heart was breaking that he couldn't provide water for Ali ibn al-Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters, when we demand things from our spouse that we know that they can't provide, it adds undue tension and resentment within that household. The house of Ali and Fatima never demanded anything from one another, right? If they could provide it, they did it. And even Ali, when he came home, it's not that he said, Fatima, why isn't the floor swept? Fatima, why is this left untidy? No. Whatever could be done, they would do it. Because why? Because they knew that they both were going to do their best. Yeah? If one spouse does not believe that their spouse is going to do the best, then yes, you will question each other. But if you both honestly know that we will work hard and we will do our best, then you would never demand or question anything from each other. You would just accept what is there already. Yeah? My brothers and sisters, when we want to practically live this, we need to learn to be satisfied with what we have. And not desire things which will add to our debt or increase expenses. You know, this all depends on multiple things, of course, right? So it depends on your financial status. If you can financially afford things and you have an agreement with one another, khair, right? But if you can't, then there should be that understanding. So again, what does that mean? That means it requires a communication between the husband and the wife about your financial status within the house, right? Oftentimes, a spouse will run all the affairs. The other spouse may not even know what's happening in the house, right? But if they don't know what's happening, how will they know what to ask for and what not to ask for? There have to be these conversations. There have to be these talks. And secondly, there has to be lack of selfishness, right, within the house. I get this complaint all the time, right, that my husband will buy a $15 pack of cigarettes every day, but he can't provide anything for the family after that. He says, I don't have money for anything else. I can't take you out for it. Baba, right? Don't get a double-double every day. Save that 10 bucks a week and buy something for your family maybe, right? If you're that tight, then you need to make personal sacrifices, not sacrifices on your family. You need to make the cuts yourself. You understand? So these are the ways in which we live with this. And the second thing, and we'll end with this, is that they genuinely helped each other around the house. Genuinely, right? First, when you look at traditions, we are told that they divided their work into two. We get a tradition from our fifth Imam Al-Baqir alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Allahumma. He says, Inna Fatimata alayha salam dominat li Ali amal al-bayt wal ajin wal khubza wa qam al-bayt. That Fatima guaranteed to Ali and said that I will handle the responsibilities inside the house. I will make the bread, I will clean the house, and I will do everything within the house. وَضَمِنَ لَهَا Ali, and Ali promises Fatima, مَا كَانَ خَلْفَ الْبَابِ, everything outside the house, he says, I will take care of it. Yeah? وَنَقْلُ الْحَطَبِ وَأَنْ يَجِيعَ بِالطَّعَامِ, that I will bring the firewood for the house, and I will bring the food for the house. Yeah? This was a division of responsibilities. But then we find that Rasulullah encourages Ali to do more within the house. Yeah? That when he comes home and he finds Ali helping to sweep, Ali helping to do something else, Ali helping to grind the wheat. This is something for us men to get, okay, to understand. Because yes, I think it's important that we make such an agreement with our wives, right? Especially if our wives are what's known as Rabbul Bayt. You know, the Arabic word for homemaker is very beautiful, right? Here in Arabic, we'll put homemaker or housewife. In Arabic, they say she is Rabbul Bayt. Yeah? She is the Lord of the house, right? And this is her responsibility, that she has this house. So yes, make this agreement, especially if you are, if the wife is staying at home. You say, you handle the house, I will help. What does the Prophet say? He says, Ya Ali, he sees Ali working around the house. He says, Ya Ali, sa'atun fi khidmatil bayt khayrun min ibadati alfi sana. Subhanallah. He says, Ali, an hour of working in the house is better than worshipping Allah for 1,000 years. Wa alfi hijjah, and better than 1,000 hajj. Wa alfi umrah, wa khayru min itqi alfi raqaba. Wa alfi ghazwa. Subhanallah, this continues, right? That when a man comes home and recognizes that, hey, my job didn't end outside the house. My job is to continue, to make the life easier for my wife, to make the life easier for my spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. Gifts this, right? And of course the woman gets the same gift. Don't be like, oh, then what do the women get? Women get the same exact thing. There's no difference when it comes to what one gains with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My point here is, my brothers and sisters, that we need to have, they had this mutual respect and love for one another. A mutual understanding to know that we need to assist each other. And these are two practical things that we need to take away from this lecture today. That when we want to have a house in which we can have sakina, sukoon, happiness, comfort, enjoyment, and the affection and mercy of Allah, then these are the things that Ali and Fatima did in their house to have that. Yeah? And inshallah, when we imitate their lives, we too will have this sakina and comfort from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. So, dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, you already know that we were talking about the means with which we can set recourse and seek recourse to the Almighty Allah. The first means was neediness and indigence. And you could see that in the Holy Quran, it is somehow regarded as a kind of supplication, since it has response and ijabah. But the second means of recourse to the Almighty Allah is the supplication itself, and it is among the keys of the Almighty Allah's mercy. Allah the Exalted says, "Call me and I will answer you," and say, "What store my Lord would set by you were it not for your supplication?" So, since we are generally talking about supplication, we skip this means and we move on to the third means, which is love. Also, this means has been previously talked about, but in short, we can say that through love we can attract the mercy of Allah, and this is something that cannot be achieved by other means. Have a look at these beautiful phrases by Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, in which he's seeking recourse to the Almighty Allah.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب النار.
He says, "Your good pleasure is my wish, vision of you my need. With you lies the remedy of my illness, the cure for my burning thirst, the coolness of my ardor, the removal of my distress.